Hey folks, Matt McSpirit here, technical evangelist and member of the ops team here at Microsoft, and we're here at sunny Redmond on Microsoft campus to bring you a video series focused on the coolest 10 features and capabilities within Windows Server 2016, as voted for by me. Well, me and a couple of others. In fact, there was no vote, but the features are cool, trust me. Now, over the course of the 10-part video series, you're going to hear from some of the best engineering and program management talent here at Microsoft, focused on building the best Windows Server product ever. You'll learn all about the features and capabilities and much more. And to kick us off in the series, we're going to meet with Keith Bankston, who's going to tell us everything we need to know about what's new and cool in Windows Server 2016 for PowerShell and desired state configuration. So let's go. Keith, welcome. Thank you for coming along and helping us understand just what PowerShell is all about in Windows Server 2016. But before we dive into that, what do you do at Microsoft?
So I'm Keith Bankston. I'm a senior program manager at Microsoft. I work primarily on PowerShell and some of the low-level management infrastructure such as WMI-WinRM.
Nice. So PowerShell is an incredibly important part of any IT professional's kit bag for managing their infrastructure. Help us understand what's new specifically in Windows Server 2016 around PowerShell and what are the key investment areas.
So we've done a huge investment in three main areas for PowerShell in the last few years. One of the big focuses is on DevOps, which a lot of people go, okay, nice buzzword, and we'll talk about that. But we've also tried very hard to make things easier for the IT pros and the developers. And finally, continuing our practice of making PowerShell available throughout the enterprise,
right,
not just on the latest round, but where people need it.
Okay, so DevOps was the first one that came off the list, and it's a term that we hear very frequently more nowadays. There are lots of shows on Channel 9 around DevOps. There's all sorts of stuff out there. For some people it means a lot, for some people it doesn't mean as much. Help us understand DevOps in the context of PowerShell, or PowerShell in the context of DevOps.
When people are talking about DevOps, a lot of what they really are focusing on is an end-to-end system of ensuring that when you do your development, and you do your testing of what you've developed, and you roll things out through the layers of production, that what you are going to be working on as a developer is what you're working on in your production environment. To that end, a lot of people talk about configuration as code, taking and defining in a well-understood language exactly what you want your system to look like. Towards that, we've been working on PowerShell Desired State Configuration, DSC.
Right.
DSC allows someone to do the work up front to define reusable building blocks, DSC resources, that they can then stitch together in a configuration which defines exactly what they want their system to look like. The networking, the storage, the connections to other systems, how they want their registry settings, a large number of these elements that have historically been managed using other tools that are not as easy for the developer to see. So that when a developer makes a change to their application, if they have to change the networking in order to roll out their web app, they can check out the code that defined the networking configuration, modify it, test it, know that it's going to be working when they roll it out in production. That's what desired state configuration focuses on.
Right, so it's enabling, for instance, if I needed a new web server, it would handle all of those configuration elements of that web server and allow me to automate the provisioning very quickly.
Exactly.
Right.
One of the other elements we just talked about, though, is also the this whole process. Giving you the tool to define the thing in code is critical to that. And we also need to improve the tools around PowerShell as well. We've added something that we pulled in from the open source world. It's called Pester.
Right.
It is a testing tool that allows you to test PowerShell code, including DSC resources, so that you can now execute those tests as you're adding the code to do this configuration. You can wrap that in mocked up or real functional unit and environmental tests using this Pester tool to execute on the PowerShell code that you've written.
Okay.
One of the other elements would be that we've focused on making it easier to author a lot of these elements. In Windows Server 2012 R2, DSC was released, and it was really just the V1. It was a good version, but there were a lot of pieces that were awkward about it, including the way that you did the development uses another language, MOF,
right,
to define a structure that you then generate the PowerShell code from and reuse that MOF structure later in the configuration. Developers saw that transition as being very awkward. So mm-hmm. PowerShell has added the ability to define in PowerShell code a class,
right,
something that's been around in C Sharp forever, but now you can do that in the PowerShell language and in DSC resources. So now you can define your DSC resource end-to-end by writing a new type, a class, and doing it all within the PowerShell code, and you don't have to spend the time to learn this extra MOF language that was undesirable.
So it's easier to adopt, especially if you're new to it as well.
Yes, and it's one less thing that you have to learn to take advantage of these new tools.
Right.
Beyond classes, we've also added a couple of other key tools. One of them is a lint-like tool, PowerShell Script Analyzer. It's a best practices analyzer that once you've done writing your code, you can go out, acquire Script Analyzer from GitHub or one of our other locations, mm-hmm. and run it on your code, and we'll give you a lot of warnings or error information about common issues that people run into when they write PowerShell. So, for example, did you handle credentials properly? Mm. That's one of those things that people will regularly get wrong when they're writing PowerShell code. Now we can give you some warnings and some additional help about it. Finally, when you are trying to develop and roll out a new application, one of the key elements is being able to do debugging.
Right.
PowerShell debugging has always been kind of hard. It was the old style of debugging. You get to write a lot of events. You get to put information out into the shell or things like that. Mm. We have extended the PowerShell Integrated Script Environment, ISE,
yeah,
to be able to do debugging of PowerShell code locally or remotely, including DSC code. So you can step through it, set breakpoints like you would in any other language. Mm. But now that's built into the tools that come along with PowerShell.
Nice. Yeah, I use the ISE pretty extensively as well. From my experience, I'm much more comfortable in there. So, but yeah, it's a fantastic tool. So ISE is improved. What are the tools and capabilities that we've been enhancing to make things easier and more efficient for people?
So when we start talking about I'm going to take on this new PowerShell DSC thing, well, the first thing that we do is people go looking for additional information. And there's a lot of old bad jokes about how easy it is to find information at Microsoft. We took the effort to consolidate all of the PowerShell information into one central hub.
Right.
So now it should be fairly simple for people to go to microsoft.com/PowerShell, and there's a set of links that'll get you where you need to go. We make sure that we are curating that list very carefully to provide information that's relevant to people about DSC, mm-hmm. about all of the other new technology efforts that we have underway, and getting them not to just the technical documentation, but to the videos, to the blog topics that we've seen as most helpful for customers.
Right.
After that, it's probably true that this is not the first time somebody's tried to solve the problem that you're working on.
Yeah.
There's a high likelihood that there's code out there somewhere. Just problem was where. Mm-hmm. There were a number of sources that were available. We needed to provide a consolidated location. So we created the PowerShell Gallery, PowerShellGallery.com. Mm. That is a location where anyone can publish their stable PowerShell code. PowerShell modules have been around a long time. It'll include all of the typically documentation help and the PowerShell code that comes along with it.
Right.
We're now asking people to add pester tests.
Nice, okay.
And when you publish PowerShell code to the PowerShell Gallery, we will run it through that lint-like tool, Script Analyzer, do a best practices scan on it. We'll also be doing virus scanning and other things so that when people are looking for PowerShell code, they know that they have some faith in what they acquire from the PowerShell Gallery. Mm. All of this stuff is available through another tool that we've tried to make things easier with, and that's our package management commandlets.
Right.
Package management's been around in the Linux world for a really long time. It's normally used in Linux, you do apt-get something.
Yep.
Apt-get sounds kind of odd, so we do install package.
Right.
All right, same concept. The ability to use the same command to install a variety of components, regardless of what their type is something that is fairly new to Microsoft, and we've built it into PowerShell now. And you can do install package, or you can, for PowerShell modules directly, you can do a find module, right, or find DSC resource. Those things will go straight out to the PowerShell gallery, search for what you're looking for. You can then save it, check it out locally, or do an install. And then we will track the things that you've installed from the gallery so that you can know what came from where and what versions you have, and stay current or update or remove as you need.
Nice.
Okay.
So you sign into the gallery to have access, is that right?
Or? Actually, no. The gallery is available completely anonymously.
Oh, right.
The only time that you would sign into the gallery is if you're publishing.
Right.
And for publishers, obviously, we have a higher bar. We want to know who you are, because the people who would download are going to want to know that, too.
I guess so, yeah. That's okay. Right.
So level that trust.
So the use of the gallery is a great way to accelerate how quickly you can build or write code, especially by reusing community-driven code that's there for your use.
Absolutely. Now, community-driven code, most people, when they think about that, they think about GitHub.
Right.
Well, it turns out GitHub is not being ignored either. We've invested heavily in doing development in GitHub. If you go to github.com/PowerShell, you'll find that all of the modules that have been published by Microsoft into the gallery are being routed through there. We're doing open source development. So if somebody finds a problem in it, they go ahead and do a pull request through GitHub. We'll go ahead and take a look at the suggestions that they've made, evaluate them, run the tests that they've added in Pester, run the tests that we already have that are available in Pester, make sure that that new code is clean, and roll it up into our next publication into the PowerShell gallery.
Nice.
And it's not just code. We have also taken to putting our technical documentation in GitHub as well. And so people, if they see an issue with one of our docs, they don't have to wait 6 months for us to fix it. Mm-hmm. They can tell us, here's where the problem is, here's the fix, we can go ahead and apply it very quickly. So a lot of what we're trying to do is accelerate how quickly we can get things from base concept, roll it out as an experimental thing, get the feedback. A lot of these concepts that Microsoft has been leaning towards, we've been applying heavily, and we're getting a lot of engagement with our MVPs and the community to add comments to the docs, add comments to the source code, and publish source code. But that can be a little bit scary.
I can imagine, yeah.
Making things easier isn't always just about making it easy for you to find somebody else's code and put it in there. It's got to be easy to operate and run in the long term. And with that in mind, we've also put energy into improving the security around PowerShell. Two key elements there are JIA, just enough administration. This is a way that I can set up a remoting endpoint onto some server and give you access to the four things that you need to do that require administrator privilege.
Hence the just enough to do what I need to do.
But you can't do nothing else.
Right.
It's a way of building that structure into a PowerShell remote session so that I can stand it up, you can do your work, and then I can shut it down because you're not going to need to do that work again for a month. I don't need to leave it lying around. So in the post-Edward Snowden world, where somebody was able to get a few credentials and apply them to learning other things because they were an administrator for everything on the box, JIA allows you to say, you are an administrator for these tasks and only these tasks. And that set can be well enough defined so that you can do everything you need to do. The last thing is that we've done significant improvements into the ability to audit and trace code that's executed in PowerShell. This is something where a lot of people were concerned about how PowerShell could be used And there were some threats that came up that were identified that, yes, you could see the threat, but it wasn't necessarily clear who did it. The improvements to PowerShell tracing make it much easier for someone to do the auditing and actually trace back to who executed what command when. And so that's another area of emphasis for us to improve the security and long-term ease of use of PowerShell in an enterprise.
So you essentially have an audit log of what happened on that server from the PowerShell perspective.
Yes, with much better information than we've had ever before.
Nice. So we mentioned DevOps. We've talked about making it easier, which is always music to my ears when it comes to PowerShell. So I'm not a PowerShell expert by any means, but I could do with some of your teachings. The other area around making it available everywhere, what does that really mean for people?
So PowerShell is the tool that you use to manage Windows systems.
Right.
That shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. It's the command line tool that most of the administrators prefer. It's a good automation system. And it's available, these changes that I've just listed are available on Windows Server 2016. They're on the Windows 10 wave of products. We just released it as the Windows Management Framework 5. Well, what's Windows Management Framework? Well, as with any version of Windows, when we get done with a release of PowerShell on Windows, we recognize that people who want to adopt those new tools and want to adopt those new technologies, they don't just have the latest version of the Windows operating system. A lot of the stuff that they have has been around for a few years. So the Windows Management Framework is our way of packaging up those bits and shipping them down level, usually two versions of Windows past.
Right.
And making the same technology stack available on most of the systems in your enterprise.
Right.
So Windows Management Framework has and continues to be the way that we take all of these new cool advantages and let you use it in anything in your enterprise going back two versions of Windows. So the Windows Management Framework that we released in early March of 2016, that takes the Windows 10 client version of PowerShell and makes it available to Windows 7 clients, Windows 8.1 clients, Windows Server 2012, R2, 2012, and 2008 R2.
Cool.
So a couple layers back and allows people to really bring their entire enterprise up to that common layer. And when you're thinking about that and trying to adopt new versions of Windows, it's really important to make that possible. More so with PowerShell than anything else. We talk a lot in Windows about this new version of server called Nano Server. Nano doesn't have a GUI. Nano is managed remotely via PowerShell. All of the tools that you would have, all these things that we've been talking about, were designed in large part to make the setup, configuration, and ongoing maintenance of a Nano Server box much easier. And the tool that we have and the tool that has shown to be the way to manage Nano Server is, of course, PowerShell.
Nice.
So, again, as you're beginning to take advantage of the new release components and the new advantages of Windows 2016, PowerShell's the way to do it.
Cool. So if you had to give advice to people perhaps just starting out with PowerShell, there may be a few people who are just starting out, but perhaps those who are familiar but need to learn the latest and greatest stuff, where would you send people?
Microsoft.com/PowerShell.
Cool.
That is the place to start. We have a number of quick start links that are there. We, for PowerShell Basic, getting me started, how do I set this thing up, how do I remote, all of those kinds of elements, plus all of the new features that I've been talking about, including PowerShell DSC, Jia, and how to take advantage of the new tools.
Yeah, and to get that, some of the stuff, people can just download the eval of Windows Server 2016, take advantage, and obviously WMF as well.
Hear, hear.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Keith, for the inspiring talk on everything PowerShell and DSC in Windows Server 2016. I've certainly learned a lot, and hopefully the people at home have learned a lot as well. Thanks for watching, and make sure you continue watching the rest of the series, where we're looking at the very best 10 features in Windows Server 2016. Thanks for watching.